Amen. Have a seat. Well, hey, happy Monday. Welcome back. Good weekend? Yeah? Mediocre weekend. That's all right. I understand. Hey, raise your hand if you're a guy. Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, if you're not a guy, point to someone who's a guy and say, have you thought about applying to be a spring break trip leader? Somebody do it right now. You should think about it. Spring break is coming up. And we need leaders, and we don't have enough guys who have applied. So I want you to think about applying to be a spring break trip leader. Grow.hope.edu to check out the application. If you have any questions, let me know. Well, I'm glad to hear you all had a mediocre weekend. I had something sort of tragic happened over the weekend for me. I ruined my son. So that was a disappointment. All right, maybe I'm being a little bit overdramatic. I can tend to be that way. We had a kind of a traumatic event happen over the weekend. My son, Jake, is 2.5. We were at the beach, and we had access to someone's kayak, which was super cool. Jake is a pretty, careful guy, and so Eric, my husband, wanted him to experience the fun of the kayak, so he lured him onto the kayak. He put on his little Lightning McQueen life jacket, and he talked him into it. He said, Jake, it's going to be fun. You're going to love it. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. We won't get wet. You can see where this is going. So it was a little choppy out there on Lake Michigan over the weekend, and they were having fun. And then all of a sudden, Jake starts feeling a little like, what am I doing? And sure enough, as he tells it, a big wave came, and it hit them wrong, and it flipped them right over. And everything was fine. They were in like a foot of water. It was no big deal. You could stand right up. But the problem is that moment, and maybe some of you had it, where you realize that everything your daddy says is not necessarily true. It happened for Jake, and he's only 2.5, and we broke him. So that was really sad. Luckily, we have another one, so we get a do-over. Sam, it won't be a big deal. Just kidding. Hey, we are in the Gospel of Mark, and I was thinking about flipping over in the kayak when I was thinking about the Gospel of Mark. Let's get our bearings here. Let's throw up that play card. All right. So the Gospel of Mark, as you know, was written by John Mark. It was the first gospel written. It was written in a time when Caesar was the Son of God, ruling the kingdom of Rome, and everyone was called to submit and obey. But Mark writes that Jesus is the Son of God, ruling the kingdom of God. Oh, sorry. The kingdom of God is now. And we are all called to repent and believe. Very good. Well, I want to talk a little bit this morning about the kingdom of God is now. Because I think in some ways, making that claim can feel sometimes a little bit like trusting your daddy out in a kayak and getting wet anyway. So let me illustrate what I mean. In the first chapter of Mark, 14 and 15, here's what it says. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, or you could also translate that, the kingdom of God is now. Repent and believe in the good news. So what Mark is saying in the same sentence here is that John has been arrested. John, who prepared the way for Jesus, who knew how important Jesus was. He could see what other people couldn't see. John, a good man. John, who baptized our Lord, has been arrested, taken to prison. And Jesus, in the same sentence, is proclaiming that the kingdom of God is here. Now, how is this possible? For the people of Israel, that would have made no sense, because the kingdom of God was the time when prisoners would be set free, when justice would be done, when the kingdom of Rome would no longer have power, but God would have the power. So to say in the same sentence, John was arrested, and the kingdom of God is here, well, that just doesn't make sense. And for us to believe that in our world today, sometimes it doesn't feel like that makes sense, right? It feels like there is a big gap between the way things are and the way things are supposed to be. It feels like it's disingenuous to say, the kingdom of God is here, when most of us are experiencing the reality of this world. And how can we make those claims? Does it feel sometimes in your life of faith like you trusted God, like you believed it was true, the kingdom of God is here, and you flipped out of that boat, you got all wet, things didn't turn out to be the way you thought they were going to be? This week, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking together as a community at reconciliation. CIS is about reconciliation this week. Next week. And reconciliation, I think, is one way to talk about what it feels like to stand in that gap between the way things are and the way they're supposed to be. One of the temptations of the Christian life, I think, is to pretend like this gap doesn't exist. It's to never get in that boat, because we're so afraid of the reality of it, that there is a huge gap between the way things are and the way they are supposed to be. And that's hard for us to hold on to both of them. Theologians say it's this. It's that the kingdom of God is already here, and yet it is not yet fully here. And we have to hang on to both of those tensions. We have to stand somewhere in the gap as people on the way with Jesus. And the temptation is to pretend the gap doesn't exist. But it does exist. And I believe that as people who have all been called to follow in the way of Jesus, that way will lead us to stand in those gaps. Ernest Cole showed us a big gap on Friday when we saw pictures of people whose hands and arms had been cut off in the Sierra Leonean Civil War. The way things are is not the way things are supposed to be. And the way of Jesus asks us to see that gap, not to pretend it's not there. We have to hear the stories so that we can stand in the gap. Why? Because I believe that the gap is where Jesus is. I believe that Jesus is in the gap between the way things are and the way things are supposed to be. And that we are all called to be ministers of reconciliation. That doesn't mean we're called to fix it. I don't know how to fix those things. There is nothing I can do to fix what happened in Sierra Leone. But if I can learn to stand in that gap, I get to see the kingdom of God breaking through. I get to see the story of forgiveness that he shared. That woman with no hands who is able to share that she can forgive because of the Lord in her. That is the kingdom of God breaking through. The truth is, there are gaps in our world. There is a gap between the rich and the poor. On Wednesday, David Beckman will be here, someone who's committed his life to the gap between those who have enough and those who are hungry. We get to stand in the gap with him. And all through CIS, we're going to hear lots of stories about the gap. It might feel for us like getting wet. It might feel uncomfortable. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, we're losing something when we learn about all of these things. But I am convinced that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation, and that means that we are called to stand in the gap, even if it hurts, so that we can see that the kingdom of God is now. It's already now, even if it has not yet come fully. Let's pray. Loving God, it is not easy. It is one of the great mysteries of life that the kingdom of God is here, and yet things are not the way they are supposed to be. Give us courage as we develop eyes to see the gaps in this world, and help us to follow the way of Jesus, which leads us to stand in those gaps so that we can see the kingdom of God breaking forth into the world even now. in your name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.